Hey, good evening, Tammy Jackson.
Good evening, John. You're a busy guy.
I'm a busy guy, but I've got time for your show, always.
Thank you.
And we have a guest.
Yes.
Joshua J. Masters. He is a Christian speaker, performing artist, and author of American Psalms, Prayers for the Christian Patriot. As a member of the Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, he's also comfortable working both in front of and behind the camera. His history in the film and theater industries has helped fuel his passion for dynamic teaching and relevant preaching. Josh has served as a ministry leader, creative director, and teacher. His website is joshuajmasters.com, and he is on Twitter at joshuajmasters. So, Josh, good evening, and welcome to the Tammy Jackson Show.
Well, good evening. How are you guys?
We're great.
You know, it's so great to have you on the show tonight. Are you in Essex now?
Yes, we're in Essex. Yes, okay. That's where my wife and I live.
Right, but you were born in Littleton, New Hampshire, correct?
Yes, so that's just across the border in the Live Free or Die area.
Okay.
That's the state motto in New Hampshire is Live Free or Die.
I actually kind of like that motto myself.
It's a great motto.
It's a great motto. What was life like growing up in Littleton?
Well, Littleton is a very small community. It's fairly large for the surrounding area because everywhere around Littleton is all sort of farm area. And I actually went to school in Bethlehem, New Hampshire, which is just outside of Littleton.
That sounds appropriate.
Yes, it's very appropriate. And it has a very high Jewish community. I guess I was one of the fewer Gentiles in the town as I was growing up. But yeah, it's a very rural state, and it's very family oriented, and it very much does have an attitude of live free or die. That's really not just the state motto, but that really is the attitude of the people who live in New Hampshire.
Very independent,
independent in their thinking and in their voting.
Now, your family, what was your family life like? Was your father in the ministry or acting or something like that?
My dad actually is a minister now, but he was not a minister when we were growing up. I grew up in the Assemblies of God Church in a very, very small church, and an elderly pastor by the name of Pastor Hansman sort of took me under his wing, and he was sort of like a surrogate grandfather to me, and just meant the world to me. And he taught me everything from about stocks to about ministry, and he would take me on trips to New York or to Washington, and even when I was just 12 or 13, he would have me preach on Sunday nights at our small church, and he really took me under his wing and sort of was the one that acknowledged that I had a calling towards the ministry. And my dad, who is now a pastor at Assemblies of God Church, was not a pastor at that time, but recently became a pastor in the last few years.
Ah, interesting. Did you have siblings growing up?
Yes, I have two siblings. Both are younger. I have a middle brother named Jared, who is 3 years younger than me. And then my little brother is Ricky, and he is 8 years younger than me.
Okay, gotcha. Now, your wife, Gina, serves as vocalist in the Worship and Arts Department. How did the two of you meet?
We actually met in the church choir at the church that we currently go to.
I wondered.
Vermont, yes. So we both sing. She's a better singer than me from a technical standpoint. And our choir director, who was doing a little bit of matchmaking on the first day of choir in 2005, sat us next to each other. She's an alto, and I pretend to be a tenor.
So he thought you made good harmony together.
Yes, she thought that we made
you were the original eHarmony.
Yes, she was creating eHarmony at choir rehearsal. So she sat next to each other, and we met in September because that's when choir starts up for the season. And we started hanging out outside of choir in October. We started dating in November, and we got engaged in December. So it was courtship, because I pretty much knew that she was out of my league, and I'd better seal the deal.
Grab her quick.
Or figured that out. Yes,
I know. Get her while the getting was good.
Exactly.
And I have
before she realized that she could do better.
I know. Very wise, very wise. Hey, I saw the picture of you two and your dog. What breed is Franklin?
Franklin, I love Franklin. Franklin's my little buddy. He is a miniature poodle, and he's a great story of perseverance and patience. I had wanted a dog for a really long time.
Does he fly kites?
He does not fly kites. He would like to fly kites. He would bark at kites what he would do. But I had actually, just very quickly, it's a great little story, is I had wanted a dog for a really long time. I'm not as good in the patience area as my wife, so I kept presenting her with dogs that were not good for us just so I could get a dog. I didn't care what kind it was. But she kept saying, no, God has got the right dog. And we wanted a miniature poodle. At that time, we were trying to get out of debt, so it had to be under $200, and we wanted a black poodle, and I was going to name him Franklin because I'm a big Charles Schulz fan.
Yes.
Kept looking and looking and looking, and finally, to make a long story short, we found him, and he was a black miniature poodle for exactly $200, and the shelter had actually already named him Franklin. He was a rescue pup.
Oh, my goodness.
He's my buddy.
Yeah, and I love Charles Schulz as well. Josh, I saw a lot of your acting clips on your site, and you have quite a lineup of parts you played. So would you say you're a character actor?
Yes, I'm not tall enough or good-looking enough to be a leading man, so I fall into the character actor position. Yes, so I've done a lot of sort of low-budget indie films, but I think that would be the right category, yeah.
But I saw at least one Hallmark Hall of Fame movie, right?
They could be
Moonlight and Mistletoe
on Hallmark, but I don't think that they were made by Hallmark. A lot of them were made by what's currently now ION Television, but it used to be PAX TV.
Yes, I love PAX because I used to watch Doc and Sue Thomas FBI.
Yes, yes. So that was the channel that produced many of them.
Ah. No, but you were very good. And I'm wondering, how did you get into acting?
I started out acting when I was little. I mean, when I was in first grade, I started doing plays. So I don't remember a time I didn't do acting. And then after high school, I did summer stock. And after summer stock, I went to college for theater. And then I did more summer stock. And then I moved into the film industry. And basically, I did that by going to every film that I could get to. And I'd audition, and they'd say no. And then I'd say, okay, well, can I sweep the floors? And they'd say, sure, we need someone to sweep the floors. And after you do that 15 or 20 times, and the same people see you over and over, they say, oh, that poor guy, give him a line.
And let him be in a B-roll or something at least.
Exactly. Just let him walk by the camera or something. Miss that card, that poor guy.
But you were great. I was laughing at the one where you got married and the bride runs off at some point and you say, never get married. And
never get married. Yeah, that was a movie for Showtime, I think it was. That was called Bereft.
Yes. And it was funny, though. I actually did look at them all. So, and I'm wondering, because I like the idea of people of faith working across the spectrum in the arts and doing so with excellence, but has your Christian belief system kept you from taking some roles?
Yeah, it absolutely has. That was one of the reasons that I moved out of doing full-time acting, was because the industry is so morally corrupt, you know, and the advice that you get from people in authority in that industry overall is not good. They want you to be promiscuous. They want you to go out and party, and they want you to not answer to any authority other than fun. So that does make it very, very difficult. So there have been times that I have turned down roles that I didn't think reflected well on God.
You know, and I'm thinking from a purely economic standpoint, I would advise people in the industry to consider having actors and stars and movies that exhibited higher standards, because if you think of the gross that they take in, it's not the R-rated movies or even, heaven forbid, X-rated movies that make so much the big money. It's typically PG to PG-13 because you have a broader audience, right?
Yeah. And really, the people who make films are not out to be evil for the sake of being evil. They make whatever movies will make money.
Yes.
So if the American society calls for family-based films that have good, strong Christian or family messages, that's the kind of movie they'll make. They don't care what kind of movies they make. They're in it to make money. It's a business, and that's fine. But they just go with the demand of society. So if we demand more family-based films, they'll make more family-based films. Hollywood is watching when these smaller family films come out, and if they see that there's a market for that, they'll make those kind of movies.
Like the brothers down south that made Facing the Giants and the other movies that were moderate successes.
Yes, Facing the Giants, Fireproof.
Yes.
Or recently, Home Run just came out.
Yeah, I saw Home Run.
That was a different company. But if those types of films do well, then the film industries will put more money into them and those movies will get even better.
Yeah, I imagine so. And there are people across this nation and people in Hollywood that are actually conservative people, that are people of faith, and they want to try and put forth a good message, and heaven knows our nation needs it right now. I need to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. I'll be back in a few with Joshua J. Masters.
It's a Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 Radio. Joshua J. Masters is our guest tonight, and let us send it back to Tammy Jackson.
Thanks so much, John. I'm back with my guest, author Joshua Masters. Josh, in your book, American Psalms, Prayers for the Christian Patriot, you open with this. The Kingdom of God and the United States of America share a unique quality. Their citizenship is not based on ethnicity or race. Being a legal citizen of the United States or God's kingdom is not a matter of birth, but of the heart. For just as America adopts those who come to her shores looking for liberty, the Lord also adopts those who come into a relationship with Him looking for freedom. Both bring hope to the hopeless and promise of a better tomorrow. The words engraved on the Statue of Liberty from the 1883 Emma Lazarus poem, The New Colossus, welcoming those coming to America, read, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Can this not be said of our Father in Heaven, those who are tired and poor, those who have never tasted liberty, those who have been tossed aside by society? They all come to America for what freedom can be offered by man, and to the Father for eternal freedom and grace. Just as Lady Liberty lifts up her lamp so the lost can find their way, so did the Father lift up the light of the world upon the cross so that lost might be found. I love that, Josh.
Oh, thank you so much. And that is just such an important message to the world, I think, because America really is an incredible, incredible place that offers freedom and liberty unlike any nation ever has in the history of the world. But true freedom and true liberty can never come from a nation. It can only come from a God who would be willing to send a piece of himself, his own son, to be sacrificed for you.
Yes, that's so terrific. And you continue, and this is in the preface, so getting people warmed up to what the book's really going to be about. And you have a lot of patriotic quotes, including this one from Benjamin Franklin, who said, "God governs in the affairs of man, and if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We as Christian patriots have a responsibility to lift up our nation and our leaders up in prayer." Josh, what is your hope for this book? What do you want to accomplish by writing it?
Well, what my real hope for this book is that people can put aside their own personal politics. We all have our own personal politics, and some of us agree and some of us disagree, but Scripture is really clear that we're called to pray for those who are in authority over us, and we're called to pray for our nation, regardless of our politics. So my goal with this book is to teach people how to pray for our nation in every area of our nation without getting caught up by your own biases.
Got it. You also cite a famous and well-loved scripture from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This book has 52 prayers for every week of the year, and you're clear that this should be perhaps just a starting point for the Christian patriot to pray for our nation and its leaders. And you have prayers for the president, for the Congress and Senate, and the CIA and the FBI and the farmers and the fishermen. What prompted you to write American Psalms, Josh?
Well, you know, I've always sort of had a, I guess my greatest regret was that I never served our country in the military. And I always feel like, and this is just for me, that if you're going to partake in the freedom that this country allows us to have, that I should play a part in that. And that's something that's always sort of gnawed at me. And one time I was praying about it and thinking about it, and it just came on me like the Holy Spirit just said, well, you don't have to be in the military to serve your country. You have other gifts that I've given you to serve your country. And that night I literally just sat down and started writing out the 52 prayers and what they could be. And certainly they evolved over the few years that it took me to write the book. But it really was that sort of bolt of inspiration from the Holy Spirit to do it.
That's pretty fantastic, because I know that our vets and our troops, whenever I or anybody else I know says, we're praying for you, they love that. Even those that might not espouse a personal belief system, they still know that there's something about that, to hear that people back home are supporting them, love with them, and honor what they're doing, and are praying for them.
Yes, and we should also be praying not only for the soldiers who are deployed, but their families at home, who
absolutely
are also making an incredible sacrifice, both in their state of mind and in their comfort and with their family, so that we can be free to live with our families.
Absolutely. Those families should be in our prayers and our hearts and should be honored by us. Now, a psalm is usually a song, and you talk about this a little bit in the book, that people that when they're praying these prayers, they ought to do it with a song in their heart, so to speak.
Exactly. So you can certainly sing them if you'd like to, but
does your wife tell you not to sing? Or
no, we both sing, but yes. We don't typically read from the book and sing. but you nailed it on the head that we should be singing and praying with a song in our heart. The scripture tells us to delight in the Lord. So there are times when our prayers are heavy and hurtful, and we're asking God to take a burden off of our shoulders. But we can also delight in the fact that we know that God has a plan. We know that He has a direction. And even when we don't understand that direction, we can trust that He has a bigger picture of the universe than we do. So these are meant to be uplifting prayers, even in areas where we think that things could be improved.
That sounds exactly right. One thing I wanted to say is you encourage folks to pray for the president and the legislature. And I must admit, okay, I'm only human, that there have been presidents that were easier to pray for.
Yes.
But that might indicate that he's in dire need of my prayers.
Well, here's the thing, Tammy, is believe it or not, that's the most common question that I get is when I go and I do speaking events or I do book signings or I'm doing a Bible study. The thing that most commonly comes up is, you know, I don't really want to pray for this president to succeed. But here's basically what it comes down to is that scripture tells us to do so. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone, kings and all those who are in authority. And then Romans 13 tells us that everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. So even if we don't agree with the president that is currently in place, God has a purpose for that president being there. And even though we may not want to pray for the president, there are endless things in our spiritual growth that we don't want to do, but God tells us to do because it's good for us. I don't by nature want to tithe, but that is a command from God, and it's for my own good. I don't want to take care of my body. I'd rather eat Reese's peanut butter cups for every single meal. But God tells us to respect the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of discipleship, and it's a matter of growth and obedience to God. So even if you disagree with the president and with Congress, and many of us do, that doesn't relieve us from obeying what God's command is. Now, I think that a good starting point, if you find yourself having a difficulty praying for the president as the president, a good starting point is to pray for him as a man, pray for him as a father, pray for him as a husband, pray that he would be a strong servant leader to his family, pray that when he talks to his daughters, he would be given wisdom and discernment, pray that just as a man, he would seek God's wisdom in his decision making, and sort of leave the politics out of it until you get to that point where you can be comfortable with that. But just because we disagree with the president doesn't relieve us from what God's command to pray for him is.
Absolutely right. Tough though it may be, we're asked to do some things that are tough, and we just have to do them. I'd like to go into the next break listening to a song. Let's listen to Toby Mac's City on Our Knees.
This is Brandon Darby. You're listening to the 405 Radio.
It's the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 Radio. Joshua J. Masters is our guest this evening, so let us send it back to Tammy.
Okay, I am back with my guest, Josh Masters, author, actor, Christian speaker. Josh has written American Psalms, Prayers for the Christian Patriot, which seemed the perfect topic for tonight's show, Josh, since Thursday is the National Day of Prayer.
Yes, Thursday is the National Day of Prayer.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and to that end, I actually have up on my website for the book, which is AmericanPsalms.com, I have obviously links to the book, but I also have a free prayer guide that people can download for their National Day of Prayer gathering that has the names of officials to be praying for, some prayer points, scriptures, and a sort of starter prayer to get your devotion started.
Now, that's terrific. Give the URL for your site again, Josh.
It's www.AmericanPsalms.com.
Sounds great. Josh, are you planning or attending any events for the National Day of Prayer?
I will be attending an event that's in Burlington, which is just outside of Essex, or actually Essex is outside of Burlington. So I'll be going to a breakfast meeting, and I'm not running it, but I'll certainly be praying at it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I know Pastor Greg Laurie of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Riverside, California, is the honorary chairman, and I noticed that there will be a live webcast streaming at nationaldayofprayer.org tomorrow at 10 a.m., and I think that that's a men's gathering of prayer, as well as the main event live from Washington, D.C. on Thursday the 2nd from 9 a.m. until 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And both events will be streaming at the nationaldayofprayer.org.
With today's technology, it's so easy to get involved. And I would really encourage everyone to get out there and pray for your nation, especially on the National Day of Prayer. I obviously, with my book, I want people to be praying every day and every week for the nation and for the different elements of our society. But there's something very unique about the National Day of Prayer. And that is the fact that it's the only day where the government asks us to pray. And there's power in that. I guess you could question their motives or their sincerity in that, but it is still a declaration from our highest office asking Christians and people of the nation to pray. And there is power in that. So I would really encourage people on that day to not only pray, but to go download the President's Proclamation. It wasn't up this morning. It usually comes up a day or two before on whitehouse.gov. And actually pray for the items that are on the proclamation. Because what a great witness for President Obama to put out these things to be prayed for, and then for God to respond to those things because Christians are willing to pray for them.
Absolutely. I very much appreciated the prayer for America's sovereignty in your book, and I'm going to read that. Sovereign Lord, your kingdom rules over all, and no one can claim authority over your kingship. You have created the heavens and the earth. You have made mankind rule over every living creature, but you alone sit on the throne of David forever. I pray our nation would submit to no authority other than that of Jesus Christ, and while we seek good relations with our neighbors, do not allow the seduction of globalization to strip us of our independence. May our identity be in you, not in the world, but in our sovereignty. Allow us to share our blessings with those in need, for your kingdom is generous. Let us show mercy, for your kingdom is merciful. Let us show for those who are not free, for the sacrifice of your kingdom has set us free. Let us sacrifice for those who are not free. Sorry. Millions have died that might have independence and authority over this land, that our sovereignty might give our people hope, liberty, and freedom. May our nation be blessed as we imitate the glory of your kingdom. And you follow that with this quote from Abraham Lincoln, another great patriotic quote. Abe says, I have been driven many time upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. Fantastic quote.
That's actually my favorite quote by any president, because it just hits me as such a sincere and humble and honest look at prayer. Like, how often do we really pray in our everyday lives? How many times are we actually driven to our knees because we feel like there's no other place that we can go? When we say that our wisdom is not sufficient for the things that are facing me, that's something that's true of all of us every single day. Our wisdom is not sufficient for things that are going to face us in that day. But we too often make our prayers fleeting. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just the to-do list, or we don't do it at all. But I confess myself, I can be flippant about my prayers and just sort of get through them and be done. But I think we need to come to a place as Christians and as patriots where we feel driven to our knees and where we recognize that our wisdom isn't all that.
Absolutely. So we're going to go to a break shortly. Trying to find the song that I wanted to play, which was Alan Asbury's Somebody's Praying Me Through. Do we have that ready, John? No. So we've got a different song queued up, and the song is called Prayer for a Friend. Let's go ahead and pray that, or play that, John, and we'll see if we can find Alan Asbury's Somebody's Praying Me Through. Thank you. Okay. Josh, I really wanted to play that song, but I want to try and quickly recite your prayer for our troops, because you and I both respect and revere the troops. You write, "Protector of nations, you are our strength and our shield. I give you all the glory and praise you for the blessings you have bestowed on our country. I ask you to bless and protect our soldiers. They sacrifice more than most of us know in protection of the freedom and liberty you have given us. These are men and women who truly have a servant's heart. They are the Americans who truly understand a living a sacrificial life for others. Place your angels of protection around them. Give them a sense of your hand upon them. Our troops have left their families and the comfort of their homes to ensure liberty for the United States and freedom for those of us who are oppressed. Do not allow them to feel isolated or alone in their deployment. Instead, let them hear your promise to be with them always and find peace in your strength. In moments of fear, let them find comfort from the Holy Spirit. Give them the courage as you did David when he wrote, 'The Lord is my light, my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident.'" Psalm 27:1-3. "Give our soldiers a knowledge of your word and allow them to feel our prayers of protection upon them. Speak to their hearts a promise of protection for their families so they might fully be focused on the job before them. Our soldiers will no doubt walk through fire and see terrible things as they are deployed. I pray that they would seek you in the darkest moments of their mission and see your hand in the beauty of creation that surrounds them. Let them see your hope where there seems to be only hopelessness, your mercy in lands that are being oppressed, and your peace where there seems to only be war. Whether stationed overseas or at a base on native soil, whether deployed to the front line or doing administrative tasks, whether a seasoned warrior or a soldier training for their first mission, whether a retired veteran or a recruit just leaving home, bless those who serve our nation. May they find respect and support from those of us who benefit from their sacrifice." Wonderful words, Joshua Masters. I loved reading that.
Thank you so much. And it really, you know, moves me even to hear you read it, because it is so true that we don't see the things that soldiers see, and we can't even really fathom what they go through and the sacrifices that they're truly making. We say that so flippantly, but they see terrible, terrible things that can't be unseen, and they do that so that I can live here peacefully and never think about those things.
It's so true. When I think of what they go through, it reminds me of John 15:13, that says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends."
And that's so true, and there are so few people who are truly willing to do that.
Joshua Masters, we've been talking about your book that is really, really fantastic, American Psalms, Prayers for the Christian Patriot. And you are at Joshua J. Masters on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Your website is joshuajmasters.com, correct?
Yes, and then the website for the book is AmericanPsalms.com, and that's actually a blog, so it's not just about the book, but I put up relevant prayer requests and prayer needs and discipleship tips and how to pray, so there are relevant posts as you go through.
Yeah, you've got all kinds of things in the book. You've got quotes from patriots. You've got, it's almost like a study guide. So someone could have this for a year, 52 weeks, with ideas about how to pray for this nation. And heaven knows, with the recent trials of Kermit Gosnell, the abortionist, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. with the Boston bombing, everybody should be fully aware that our nation really, really needs prayer.
it really does need prayer, and we need to change our own heart attitudes. One of the things that's important is to pray for people by name, because that not only is obedience to God, but it changes your own perspective. You know, when you pray for people as human beings, and when you pray from Scripture, that's why each prayer in the book is based on Scripture. There's obviously, when we're on radio, you can't hear that, but there's always between 3 or 5 or 6 cross references with Scripture that are on each page with the prayer, because it's really important. The only way that we can know that we're praying within God's will is to pray from within His Word. So each one of the prayers are very Scripture focused, and they list which Scriptures, so you can study for yourself if what's here is biblical.
Terrific. I want to thank you for being my guest tonight on this special edition of the Tammy Jackson Show. I want to encourage everyone listening to go to Amazon.com and order Josh's book, American Psalms, Prayers for the Christian Patriot. And I'd like to have one last quote from Joshua Master's book. America was founded by people who believed that God was their rock of safety. I recognized we must be cautious in claiming that God is on our side, but I think it's all right to keep asking if we're on His side, Ronald Reagan. I also encourage you to attend a National Day of Prayer event with news such as the heinous Gosnell trial and the Boston bombings. America and her leaders need prayer like never before. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. I want to say keep fighting the good fight. Keep praying for our nation, and I will talk to you again next week.